What's up, everybody? Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice Monday morning alongside Waiver Wire James, filling in for Pete Jensen, who's on a little birthday vacation. How you doing, James?
I'm doing great, guys. Great to be on. And happy birthday, Pete.
James, thanks for joining us, filling in for old Peter Jensen. I don't see you wearing your New York Rangers jersey after the sledgehammer came out last week. You decided what, not to wear the jersey? What's going on here?
If you remember correctly, Bob, we never actually came to an agreement.
Please.
You tried to me to agree by agreeing for me, but we never actually came to a formal agreement. I am wearing kind of Rangers colors. I'm wearing, blue and red, but we never actually had any kind of a formal agreement. So, I can refer to you to my attorney if I need to.
Well, James, when we started the show, I said, can you be a little quicker with your answers? You just went on a little monologue there. We'll get to all the fantasy stuff, waiver wire, James, for sure. For the listeners out there, this is clear as day. James is a fraud. Rob, take it over. It's fine. I mean, okay, it's totally fraudulent out of you, James.
I'm going to step up for James because you've made a couple money moves for me in my season-long league already. I'm going to rely on you again today. If you want to read James's article on the waiver wire, it's nhl.com/fantasy. You'll catch it there. Now, I think we got to start here, fellas, with Jack Roslovic of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He played 19 minutes in their game against Carolina, James. Do you think this is a slam dunk pickup now?
100%. I mean, we talked a few weeks ago, Rob, when I was on with you and Pete, and we were breaking down the Line A for Dubois trade. And right at the end of that segment, we snuck in there a little bit about the apple that was Jack Roslovic being thrown into that deal too. And we said that this might be finally the opportunity that Roslovic gets to really show the player that everybody thought he was going to be in Winnipeg. And, being buried for a few years on the third line behind Brian Little, isn't really an ideal situation, and not really being given a lot of talent around him to work with. And now he's skating on a line with Patrick Laine and Cam Atkinson. He's centering that first power play unit. I think with the production that he has right now, yeah, you have to pick him up.
I agree 100% with you, James. And I would go so far as to say, I mean, you might even be looking at dropping like a top 175-ish player for Roslovic. I just don't think, guys, you can miss out right now on him. If he's still available in your leagues, I don't care what format you're playing, this is a must-add player. And this Columbus team, I think we can all agree on, they've really showed signs now of being able to turn a gear offensively. Now, there is a Zach Werenski injury concern there. It looks like he might be week to week right now. We'll have to keep our eye on that. But James, as far as I'm concerned, both Seth Jones and Werenski have pretty much been duds fantasy value-wise to this date. So I think if you can get a forward with exposure to Line A, it's got to be Jack Roslovic.
Yeah, I actually pulled the plug on Seth Jones a couple of weeks ago in two of my leagues. I had been waiting for him to come around, and he just hasn't. But I think right now with what they're doing and how they're starting to gel, and Line A looks rejuvenated playing there, if you have a guy like Roslovic who is starting to settle in and they know each other and they have chemistry from when they played in Winnipeg, it's a slam dunk. I mean, back-to-back multi-point games. The one thing about Roslovic right now is he's not shooting a lot. He only has 7 shots on goal in 5 games. We definitely want to see that number go up. But on his current 4-game point streak, he has 5 assists, 1 goal. He's got 2 power play points. So he's getting it done in all situations. And especially if he can stick with Line A, you have to pick him up. And
agreed.
Where his number is right now, only 12% rostered in Yahoo, he's a must-own.
And I think, James, we saw with Texier now, he only played 13 minutes in that game. If you pick Texier up, I think it's like you might have to make a quick day trade there and now go for Roslovic instead of Texier. So keep an eye on their line combinations, but it certainly looks like Roslovic finally will flourish with the opportunity. Now, another first-round pick, James, that looks like he's coming into his own and maybe big time, is Puljujärvi for the Edmonton Oilers. Tell me what you like about Puljujärvi, and maybe say, would you go with him over Roslovic for upside just because he was a number 4 pick? Roslovic, obviously more of a late round first guy, but still upside there too.
Well, there's upside with both. It kind of just comes down to where the need is on your roster. But, there's a lot to like about Jesse Puljujärvi right now. Going into the season, we were all very high on him as you know, like a sleeper and a bounce back guy. Obviously, we know what had happened with him a few years ago when he was playing with Edmonton before he left to go play over in Europe. He had only had a career high 20 points in 65 games in the 2017-2018 season. You know, so now he's really getting that chance full time on Connor McDavid's line. He's playing with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the other side. He's playing with elite playmakers, and he's not afraid to shoot the puck like he previously had been. You know, that year where he set his career high, 136 shots on goal in 65 games. So he's really only been averaging about 2 shots on goal a game. He has 34 shots on goal so far this season. So he's showing that he's matured a lot as an offensive player, and that he's not afraid to rip the puck at the net anytime that it's on his stick. And, you know, we know as good of a scorer as McDavid is, he's probably an even better passer. So we know in that situation that Puljujarvi is going to get a lot of looks. So, yeah, he's a guy, but it's two different situations with him and Roslovic. It just comes down to which one you can get and which one fills a better need for you.
Well, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that there are concerns about the Edmonton Oilers. And as a prospective fantasy manager on the waiver wire this morning, I almost have a tough time picking a guy like Puljujarvi up, not for the upside, gentlemen, but for the Edmonton Oilers' inconsistencies. One game, they look fantastic. They take a step forward. The next game, it's like they blow a lead and they take 2 steps back. And we've seen this for 3 straight weeks now.
They are the epitome of, you know, topsy-turvy. And when you're building a fantasy team, it's the last thing you want is inconsistency. So Rob brings up a good point where, you know, Columbus may be a little bit steadier than Edmonton at this point. Edmonton, I mean, it's tough sometimes when you watch them one night, they look phenomenal. And the next night it's completely different. They're letting up 6 goals, whatever it is. And it's a roller coaster.
Yeah. I think though that the thing you have to remember is who they're playing against. You know, Edmonton is going to have games against teams like Ottawa, against teams like Winnipeg, Vancouver, you know, Calgary, teams True. That we were expecting to be suspect defensively. And obviously a team like Ottawa, most people were picking them to be one of the 2 or 3 worst teams in the NHL. And so far that's, you know, bearing out this season. So, you know, you have to remember that with the amount of games that a team like Edmonton is going to play, even a team as good, and I'll you know, eat crow on this one with Toronto right now. I said I didn't think that they were going to be a playoff team, and they're leading that division right now. They're very weak defensively and in goal. They're winning because of their offense. So that, you know, those games against Edmonton are probably going to be pretty high scoring games. So I think there's a lot of, you know, defensive issues in that division as a whole, and for that fact alone, I'm okay going with a guy like Puljujarvi as long as he's playing with McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, because there's going to consistently be offense and high scoring in games in that division.
Yeah, it seems like 80 to 90% of those Scotia North games are hitting the over. I mean, it's unbelievable how many goals are being scored. And for fantasy managers that have any of the goalies in the North Division, you know, you're getting some wins, but you're also getting a high goals against and a low save percentage. So there is some air of caution. I do like the Puljujarvi pickup, though. I still believe in Edmonton this year with offensive talent. But let's talk about the Ottawa Senators. Tim Stützle in particular, such a talent. I mean, he looks great when you watch him play. Now he's starting to pick up points consistently, even on a team that's a bottom feeder in the Senators, James. Do you think there's enough regular season long-term value there for Stützle to make a waiver wire claim this morning?
Certainly in deeper and, you know, in keeper and dynasty leagues, he's one of those guys that you have to be rostering. In more shallow leagues and in standard category leagues, I'm not entirely sure yet. I have to see a little bit more. He is starting to play more minutes though right now. He just had the other night against Montreal, his highest minutes output of the year. He played over 17 and a half minutes in that game, had 3 shots on goal. So I just need to see him utilized a little bit more from the Senators to really, you know, in standard leagues or in 8 or 10 team leagues to say you need to pick this guy up. Obviously, like I said, dynasty and keeper leagues, 100% have to go out and add him. 12 team and more leagues, I'm a little leery on it until I see his usage start to pick up.
I like the player a lot. I love him in keeper leagues, but I think my concern with the Senators and maybe with Stützle too is just that I think Bob said it earlier where Calgary's a little up and down, or maybe it was you, James. Calgary's a little up and down. Winnipeg's a little up and down. Edmonton's a little bit up and down. One of those teams is going to level off and find consistency. We already see Toronto beating up on Ottawa. We already see Montreal for the most part beating up on that team. Add one of those other teams into the mix there. And I just think Stützle's plus minus is going to be pretty big liability this season. It's nothing against the player. It's nothing against the fact that he can't produce. He certainly can. But I would just worry that this Senators team, we haven't seen rock bottom yet, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, and I would say it's probably the same thing or a similar argument from a plus-minus standpoint if you're going after a guy like Puljujarvi just because of how bad defensively Ottawa is. You know, I know I expect Puljujarvi is going to produce a lot more, especially this season, than Stützle. But from a defensive standpoint, especially if you're in a league that does count plus-minus, it's something that you have to pay attention to.
If we haven't seen rock bottom from the Senators, I don't want to see what rock bottom is. I mean, I thought they were going to be a feisty team this year. I kind of like some of the players on the team. Goaltending has been terrible. Matt Murray has been really bad. And really with the Oilers, that's their main issue. Also, the fact that they go into the season with Koskinen. I mean, Koskinen has started almost every single game for the Oilers. I hate to go back to the Oilers, but that is mind-boggling crazy. And if the Senators... it's really tough for a team. They were supposed to take a little bit of a jump here in their rebuilding process and be competitive. They've been completely non-competitive. I believe that they're going to be better. We'll see. We'll see about that.
Well, I mean, how can you even pick up a goalie right now in the North Division? Like, I mean, look at Vancouver, like Thatcher Demko, he should be getting more starts than Holpe now, but he's given up goals every other shot, it seems like, James. And even James Reimer was one of our best waiver wire ads last week. He gave up 10 goals in his past two starts. Now he's going to get some wins there. But what are you doing if you're looking for a goalie?
You're hoping and praying that somebody just comes out of the woodwork. I mean, yeah, you look at some of these players out there right now. You know, Koskinen has not been good, but we were suspect about Edmonton's defense and goaltending going into the season. You know, everybody was a little leery about Holpe, whether or not he could return to, you know, the Vezina form that he had, you know, 3-4 years ago. And he just hasn't shown that yet. But we knew that this, you know, the Central was going to be a tough division. We knew that those teams were going to be able to score. And, you know, when you look at Reimer, he's been consistent in the past, but he is prone to, you know, having lapse games like this. And 10 goals in two games is you know, a big number. But you also have to remember he's going to be on a team that's going to be a playoff team. So he's going to get you wins. It's kind of like Freddie Anderson the last few seasons with Toronto. His peripheral numbers have gone down every year since he was acquired from Anaheim by the Maple Leafs, but his win totals have gone up every year. And so, you know, you kind of have to, you know, take the good with the bad with players like that, especially in a year like this, where you're just going to consistently be seeing the same teams and the same opponents week in and week out.
Well, I had a situation yesterday where I lost my Sunday matchup because of Reimer allowing five goals and his 7.73 save percentage. Now, I got the win. I won my win category, but I got absolutely slaughtered in the save percentage. It's like 7.73 and still getting a win. I think you can count on one hand how many times that's happened, James.
Yeah. You know, and when you look at what he's doing right now, I mean, Mrazek was so solid, and it really is a huge blow for them losing him. But again, like I said, you just have to bite the bullet to add a guy like Reimer because you know he's going to get wins. You know he's going to, you know, put up performances. He's not going to give you great save numbers right now, but he's going to give you wins. And you have to kind of balance that with the rest of your roster.
Hey, James, off the top of your head, going into the season, you know, as a fantasy player, you're stacking up these players on one team or you're really high on one team. And now what, we're about a month or so into the season and it's been completely blown up. Well, who is that team that right now is like, wow, I should have stayed completely steered clear of this team from the get-go? You know, I look at it and I don't know from a fantasy perspective, but really Vancouver's been just a huge disappointment. I mean, all in all, maybe the biggest disappointment in the league, but from your perspective, and I know it's off the top of your head, what team, you know, a fantasy player is stacked up on these players and now you're kind of going back to the drawing board?
Vancouver would definitely be up there. I think a lot of people were high on the New York Islanders going into this season, especially their top six with how it played in the bubble playoffs. Varlamov started great, but he's been shaky his last handful of starts. So, I would definitely put a team like the Islanders up there. I think a lot of people rated, staying in the North Division, rated the Flames as a pretty good shot to, be a solid team, and they've been, hit and miss. I mean, there are a lot of teams out there right now that you can, kind of cherry pick going into the season where we thought they were going to be a lot better here, and they just haven't been so far. But
Yeah, and
Vancouver, I think, is definitely the biggest disappointment.
I would say Vancouver for sure. Also, New York Rangers. Now, there's the jury's still out on them. I think they're trending up quietly. But if you had a guy like Mika stacked up with Kreider, stacked up with Laf, and then like Tony D on the back end, you're getting zero value there too. So that would be another one. But I do think James Reimer is still a must-add goalie. But I'm looking at a little bit deeper situations now. I mean, if you really need peripherals, I mean, you could go Cal Peterson. He's playing at like a 925 save percentage. He might not get the wins, but if you need to balance out some of these tank save percentages, I would go there. But I'm also looking at the Chicago Blackhawks. This has surprisingly been a team that stayed competitive in games. I mean, really, like that could have been a bottom feeder, but it looks like they figured it out. So are you going Kevin Lankin in there for a goalie option?
I think you have to at this point. He's just sitting there. He's being super consistent. Every game that he plays, they're in. 8 starts so far, 4-1-3, a 2.32 goals against, and almost .930 save percentage. Like these numbers for a rookie goaltender in that division against the teams that he's been playing against. You have to take a flyer on a guy, especially in a season like this, where it's such a short season. You don't really have time to let things develop and evaluate whether or not a guy is a flash in the pan guy or if he's something that, is going to be successful and sustainable. I think you just have to, take a flyer on him and see. And so far, all right, yeah, he had one or two good outings when he first started. Everybody's like, oh, okay, the Blackhawks, they were playing weaker teams, and this division, the bottom feeders of this division aren't great. Now he's 8 games in, so that's 1/7 of the season, and you're like, oh wow, he's still putting up great numbers. Okay, now I think if he's available, you absolutely have to pull the trigger on him and give him an ad. And he's still rostered in only 57% of Yahoo leagues, so he's still pretty available out there. And if he is, yeah, you have to go and try and grab him.
I saw somebody on Twitter make the comparison between Lankinen and Binnington, and I'm like, that's a little ambitious just because that Blues team, was so deep talent-wise. But I'm like, I can kind of see what they're saying in just that every game that he plays, they're in it and they're winning right now. And his save percentage speaks for itself. So I'm definitely dropping my third goalie for Lankinen, no question, until the steam runs out with Chicago. But there is one other major goalie storyline this weekend, that Ilya Samsonov is eligible to return to skating again. Obviously, if you watch the Caps game over the weekend, I mean, they should have won that game by a country mile, and yet they lost 7-4. Craig Anderson didn't provide a whole lot of relief for them, and Vanecek is just looking like, the fumes might be running out of the tank there. Is there a scenario, either you guys, that you'd maybe make a trade for Samsonov, or are you a little bit weary now because the Caps are allowing a lot of goals?
I mean, the Caps are allowing a lot of goals right now. I think that Vanecek is just starting to lose a little bit of steam. I don't think he's used to playing this much in such a condensed period of time, such high pressure games right now. I think if he was in a timeshare with a goalie like Samsonov, where he was getting, a day or two off or a game or two off here and there, and they were kind of a 1A, 1B tandem, he would still be producing like he was his first, 4 or 5 games. I would go out and I would take a flyer on Samsonov, because I think that when he comes back, he is going to be the guy. And so if you can buy low on him right now and get somebody who, is kind of desperate to unload him, or is going to need to drop a goaltender, and in order to bring him back, and they don't have a goaltender that they want to drop, yeah, I think it's worth taking a shot on Samsonov, especially in a keeper league. Like if you can get Samsonov in a keeper league, somebody who's willing to say, ah, maybe I shouldn't have kept him, or maybe I didn't need to take a flyer on him in the 6th or 7th or 10th round, whenever you took him. try and buy low on him a little bit and, you know, see if he turns it around, which I think he will. But I think it's cooled a little bit on Vanecek just because I think he is playing a lot of games in a short period of time and he's not used to it.
Yeah, I don't think I would drop Vanecek just yet, but it's getting to the point where if you are a Vanecek manager, I think you got to go and look out and see what team Samsonov is on in your league. If that team has three decent goalies that have been getting a lot of starts for that manager, I think you could send a trade offer in there. And I think that's a sneaky pickup because that's the one piece that team is clearly missing, just that steady goalie that can play a lot of volume. With that said, though, we have to keep in mind Samsonov never was a high-volume guy. I mean, KHL is a lot more of a lackadaisical schedule, number one, and then even the AHL, he didn't play a whole lot. So I think there is a concern there for the Caps this season. I'm not ready to sound any alarm bells. I think it's a very good team, but it is one storyline this season, especially at that position in fantasy, that you really have to, you can't miss on anymore this season.
It stinks for the Capitals because of the whole Hank situation. They thought they brought in the veteran to give Samsonov some support, and the goalie situation with the club, how has been completely blown up with COVID, and now they're bringing in Vanecek, Craig Anderson coming in relief yesterday. So I feel bad for the team and especially the general manager there, because McClellan, because he went out and he made the right move, and unfortunately it just hasn't worked out, mainly because of the, you know, freak thing surrounding Hank and his heart condition.
Yeah, and I think the thing too, if you're looking at maybe trying to go out and get Samsonov, look at the schedule for Washington for the rest of the month. Not, you know, they play Buffalo three times, they play Pittsburgh four times, and they play the New Jersey Devils twice, with a couple of games in there against the Rangers too. So it's a pretty favorable schedule when you look at how all of those teams have been playing to start the season. So, you know, I think it's worth taking a flyer on. But yeah, it is really unfortunate, the situation down in Washington. That everything had just been thrown so all over the place. And some of the guys who went on the COVID protocol are back already, and some of the guys who went on it aren't. So right. it's just a weird situation down there.
Any other waiver wire stuff before we run through the Monday board? One more thing, Robbie, what do you got?
I got one more. I just wanted to throw out a defenseman here and see what you guys think. Pierre Oliver Joseph for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Even with Letang back and on the top power play, it looks like POJ is going to return some value here. The kid just has whatever it is to succeed in the NHL. He has it. And you know right away when someone's got it, he's got it. So what type of, I think this is a question I get on Twitter. It's like, what type of defenseman am I parting with to pick up a Pierre Oliver Joseph? I would throw out maybe like a Devon Taves, a guy that hasn't played in a little bit, that's banged up. Like, he's valuable when he plays, but you need starts now. So I would kind of go that route. What are you thinking, James?
Yeah, a Taves, maybe a guy like a Jonas Brodin, who had been a little hot as of late. You could even maybe start to look at guys. If you think that POJ is really going to, you know, break out, maybe a guy like a Drew Doughty, you could look at dropping just because they've been so inconsistent there. But yeah, I would definitely say a guy like POJ, maybe a guy like Brett Pesce from Carolina, who's been playing really well the last couple of weeks. Even a guy up in Toronto, the rookie defenseman they have up there, Mikko Lettinen. He's got three assists, one on the power play in his past two games. The guy was sixth overall in scoring in the KHL last season and had 17 points in 17 games this season before coming over at the restart for the NHL season. So I think that if he starts to get consistent playing time for Toronto, he could really be something, you know, of the offensive defenseman to pair with Morgan Riley in that top four that they thought that Tyson Barrie was going to be last year, and he just really wasn't. So, you know, that's another name, especially in deeper leagues, that I would be monitoring to see what kind of usage he gets going forward. He's been scratched in a lot of games so far for the Leafs, but he's been productive when he's been in there. So I think if he starts getting consistent playing time, he could be one of those guys.
Look for his ice time to skyrocket. I think he went from 9 minutes to 14. Next game, I wouldn't be surprised to see that player around 20. All it takes is that one breakout game for a player to show his true skills and potential, and then he's playing in 17, 18, 19 minutes per game and bringing value for you in fantasy. Now, I do want to turn ahead to the slate tonight. It's not often I bring out the hammer here, but I'm looking at two matchups in particular that just scream value to me. The first one is the Nashville Predators at home against the Lightning. I know you should not get in front of the Bolts train, but Nashville's a very good home team, and they showed they can score. Granted, it took Philip Forsberg having 5 points, but they showed they can score. Plus 130, I love that pick. And then I also like the Jackets, plus 120, home dogs.
Okay, okay. You really came out of the gate hot there. I'm just looking at the board myself. I do think the Nashville play is interesting for sure. I like the price on that Nashville play. And the thing with Columbus and Carolina, right? Columbus should have won that game. I mean, I didn't watch the game, but I think there was a review issue that happened in that game that kind of screwed Columbus, right? Now, I'm not going to say that's the reason why they lost, but I thought Columbus played a real solid game. They let up way too many goals to win the game, but I could see Columbus bouncing back against Carolina. This is definitely not a hammer, but this is one that, and we just came off me ragging on Vancouver. Is Toronto, I mean, Vancouver's value is never going to be lower than it is right now. Are they going to lose three in a row to Toronto here? You can get Vancouver, I mean, at plus 170. Can they get one from Toronto and you can get them at that price? It's tough, though, because Vancouver has looked so bad. But I don't know if we've seen a team in the Scotia North, you know, sweep a three-game set other than, you know, maybe a team's playing the Senators. So something to keep an eye on, James. And what do you like, James?
I definitely was going to say Vancouver there. I think the value is just too good. I think that they can find it. And at 170 at that point, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's a great play. And the other one that I would have said, just because they came off winning the other day in their matchup there, is Arizona against St. Louis. Arizona at plus 135 against St. Louis. I think, you know, they beat St. Louis over the weekend. That top line's starting to look really good. Connor Garland, I have him on the waiver wire this week. He's looking like the stud, and we've talked about him a couple of times so far this season on here. So I would say Arizona and Vancouver are great value plays tonight.
Yeah, I don't really see much else. And as far as totals go, I haven't played a lot of totals this year. I'm never a big total guy. I usually rely on Robbie for the totals. You know, listen, I mean, there'll probably be a lot of goals scored in the Edmonton-Ottawa game. You would think it's at 6.5, but I mean, it's a coin flip sometimes with these totals. I would take Edmonton on the puck line also just on based on how bad Ottawa is, but I don't love it. So that's the board DFS wise, Robbie. What do you got?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of good picks tonight. I'm going with Connor Garland in DFS. I would go season long too there, but I love that matchup for him, James. Just trending up big time in every format. Now for Vancouver, I'm not as sold as you guys are on the price tonight of that game. I'm not betting against Toronto, but I will get Elias Pettersson in my DFS lineup just because if they do go off, if they do have that kind of rally type of game, you're going to get value from Petey there. Now, one other big spot I'm looking at for DFS is this Rangers-Islanders game. The Islanders always seem to have the upper hand with the New York Rangers. The last couple matchups, I don't know what it is. Barzal always is playing well, but I'm going to go back to Mika Zibanejad in this game for the Rangers. I just don't want to miss his breakout game. It's going to happen one of these nights. You can start to see him playing better. So if you get bored of my picking Zibanejad this week, I'm sorry, but he's going to break out one of these games. I think it's tonight against the Islanders.
Yeah, he always plays really well against the Islanders, so I wouldn't be surprised if this definitely is a springboard game for him. I think that there are a lot of really solid value plays out there for DFS tonight. Jordan Staal for Carolina has been playing out of his mind as of late, so I think he would be a really good mid-value pick. Obviously, Roslovic for Columbus, I think, is going to provide excellent value there. Barclay Goodrow from Tampa Bay against Nashville tonight. He's got points in three straight coming off a multi-goal game the other night. And Brett Pesce, I think, from Carolina also is a guy who in DFS you should be able to get under that, I think, $4,500 range, maybe even under sub 4,000 wherever he is in FanDuel. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of value on the board tonight. And even if you go to a team like an Ottawa or a Vancouver, some of their mid-level guys I think that you're going to see some value, but definitely I like that Columbus Carolina play for DFS. I like Tampa Bay, and I do like that Islander Ranger game because those games always seem to, especially lately, be decently high scoring.
And two budget defensemen I want to throw out here too is Dean Kukin for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then they also have Vlad Garakov. You might be thinking, what's going on here with Rob today? Let me just defend myself real quick. These guys are going to see a higher increase in ice time with Werenski out. They've already got as many points as Seth Jones this year. So, you know, before you hate, look at the
I just thought maybe Peter took over your body there with these random players. I thought maybe Pete Jensen was making a secret appearance on the show as he celebrates his birthday. Anything else before we wrap her up?
I
James,
just
Rob?
I wanted to throw this out there too. Last thing, Sean Couturier is back for the Philadelphia Flyers. That should be an interesting rest of season play. I don't know what you guys are expecting, but I can't get in on this Philadelphia team this year. I'm going to say it now. I cannot get behind the type of hockey they're playing. It just doesn't seem sustainable.
So before the Super Bowl, I watched the game on NBC. Again, Carter Hart was a sieve. How many goals? They look a little lost on the back end. They don't generate a lot of shots. With that said, Couturier, they did lock it down in that third period. They exploded a little bit, and they were giving up leads in the third period. Couturier, Selke winner, locks it down. They're a wishy-washy team. I would expect them. I would think they would get in the playoffs in the East. I would think. But yeah, they're a team that have not. I thought they were maybe going to make a leap or a jump from last year, and Carter Hart was going to be real solid. He has not looked real solid, and that's an issue for them.
I think that with Couturier back, I mean, look, you know, heck of a return, right? Two goals and an assist. It's kind of hard to argue that he's going to solidify them defensively, especially the top six there. You know, Nolan Patrick, not much of a defensive forward. Kevin Hayes has never really been much of a defensive forward, even when he was with the Rangers. So, you know, Couturier is going to lock that down. And obviously, also they were missing Travis Sanheim yesterday, who is one of their top four defensemen and really defensively one of their best defensemen that they have, probably their second best defensive defenseman behind Provorov. You know, so I think that Philly's going to be fine. They've just been ravaged with injuries this season and inconsistency. But I think with Couturier back, once they get Sanheim back, you know, depending on what goes on with him and the COVID protocols, you know, I think that that team is going to be just fine. And yeah, Carter Hart has struggled this season, but they do have Brian Elliott, who has been solid every time he's been in, except for one stinker. But you know, the rest of the time, I think they're fine.
For the record, I am not giving up on Carter Hart. I think Carter Hart's going to be a good goalie. I'm not throwing him in the trash can. I just expected him to be better than he's been this year. And I think, Robbie, you would agree with that also.
I think we all did.
I'm looking to shop Sean Couturier in my keeper league. I've just seen enough from this Philadelphia team the past 3 years. This is just a roller coaster, and I'm getting off the ride. This Philly team, 40 shots for the Caps to 15 to Philadelphia in the middle of the third period. Is that a way to win a game? It's not. You're not going to win that way. It's simple. So the more and more I watch, the more and more I get off the bandwagon. I do like Philly to make the playoffs, but I think in fantasy terms, Sean Couturier is going to return value. How much value, though? I don't think it's going to be worth his ADP anymore. I'm trying to get off the train and unload him. I like the Philadelphia Flyers as a sneaky team, maybe to sneak into the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to do a lot of damage.
Kind of hard to argue with 7 goals on 22 shots, though.
Yeah, when you have Anderson, who hasn't played in how long, you know, over a year probably, and Vanecek, who's just been running into the ground. I mean, it just doesn't seem like a sustainable recipe that.
I'm not saying it's sustainable, but I'm also, you know, going to say that we really haven't seen excellent goaltending from a lot of the teams in the Eastern Division so far this season. So, you know, if that's going to be their recipe, I don't necessarily think it's going to fail for them in a season like this.
Okay. You know what? I think that's actually a good point because this is that season where goalie has been a problem for a lot of teams, you know, outside the teams that have Fleury and Lehner as your 1A, 1A, right? So I agree with that, James. I might have to chill out a little bit on the Flyers' sake, but I still, if you're interested in Sean Couturier in my keeper league, he will be available as of noon today. But
On the
thank you.
block. He's
Yeah,
on the
on the
block.
block, officially on the block. But thank you, James, for your insight as always at Waiver Wire James on Twitter. Bobby's at Air Checked for any Tips and Amit NHL Reese.
James, thank you very much for joining on a Monday.
Always great. Bobby, did you get the snowblower out yesterday?
Ah, James, the snowblower is on overdrive, man. The snowblower is on overdrive. Yeah.
Did you take the over or the under last night?
I stayed away from the over and the under, but I'll tell you, I had the snowblower out, James, and I was doing patterns out there on the driveway. Okay. Put a bow on it.
Well, we're getting more this week, so bring it back out, fellas. And we'll be back with Petey on Wednesday morning. You can send your questions our way at NHL Fantasy. We'll get you all teed up for the rest of the week. We look forward to it, and we'll see you then.